Thanks for listening to this sermon recorded at Holy Innocents Episcopal Church during one of our principal services. This sermon was based upon the lectionary readings for the day. To stay connected at Holy Innocents, friend us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or check us out on the web. Thanks for listening, and stay connected.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The waiting is the hardest part. The motif of waiting on God is major in Scripture and was rendered famous in English literature by John Milton's sonnet on his blindness. They also serve who only stand and wait. A large number of scripture passages command waiting, and they fall into five main usages, ranging from passive waiting to general waiting, which envelops the entire life of the person waiting. Think back with me over the last few weeks, in these last weeks before this first week of Advent. We've heard about the separation of the sheep and the goats, which I've got to say has always made me nervous as a Capricorn. We've learned about the owner entrusting his property in the form of talents to his slaves, and we've heard about those wise and those foolish virgins. In each of these stories, some of the people make the cut, and the ones who don't, well, they don't fare too well. The ones who don't make the cut have been unprepared. They've displeased their masters or they've neglected others. So with this reading, we've essentially upped the ante, haven't we? We're commanded to wait and be at the ready with the full knowledge of what happens when we aren't. We just have to read the Gospels from the last couple of weeks. Today's passage seems to take the biblical ideas of waiting and create a mashup of them. We start with the passive waiting. For about the day and the hour, no one knows. This type of waiting is associated with patience, resignation, submission, dependence, and contentment with a less than ideal current state. And hopefully, just hopefully, every day we see one more card in the hand of the Maker. Just like the coming of summer being shown by the leafing of the fig tree. Then there is a type of waiting where waiting is an implied withholding of human exertion, where the waiting becomes a venture of faith, a trust in God rather than human means. We take it on faith, for only the Father knows the day and the hour. The third way of waiting for God is with hope and expectancy. We take it to the heart as we await the return of the master of the house. The fourth way casts waiting for God in the second coming is clear from today's gospel. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. Finally, the last motif is so general, as I said, that it leaves one with the picture of a whole life in faith. This is on par with being God-fearing. Now, this isn't feeling terrorized by God, but having knowledge of God through intimate relationship. Fear of God is fundamental for those who have experiential knowledge of God. It is having saving faith in God. It is linked to wisdom, and it is part of the covenant between God and God's people. It is to be in awe and reverence of God, to trust in God. Despite the fact that the biblical motif of waiting is a strongly positive image that is considered a virtue, by the way, the modern world, we have made waiting seem weak and tedious. Because, of course, we are people of action. Think of the different forms that waiting has taken in our lives. I promise you I have said all of the following, and believe me, this list is not exhaustive. I can't wait until I'm old enough to wear contacts, drive, vote, fill in the blank. I can't wait until I'm done with school so that I can go to work. I can't wait until vacation from work. I can't wait until I'm promoted. I can't wait until I feel better so that I can get back to living my life in health. And believe me, these are illustrative of only about the first 30 years of my life. I've got about 25 more years of those to share with you. I won't do it today. We would be here all day. Implicit in our modern concept of waiting is a discontent with who we are, where we are, as we await the next best thing. As Christians, we believe in a life beyond this one, and we've been promised that it will be better. So perhaps it isn't too difficult to buy into this sense of discontent in this life. But this life is different than that life. Just as we have been given the gift of redemption as a consequence of Christ's selfless act, we have been given the gift of time and in this place to create a relationship with God and with one another. We have been given this gift of time in order to keep awake. We have been given the gift of Christ as a human being, one who just like us knows neither the time nor the hour, but committed himself to the work that the Father sent him to do. So I guess the question we must ask ourselves is, what work did God send us to do that will aid us to be aware and to be alert and avoid the metaphoric sleep? You see, the waiting is the hardest part, but time keeps flowing like a river. What do we do with the gift of time that God has given us? Time is more precious than all of the riches in the world. Why do we sometimes spend that gift of time in ways that lull us to sleep? How can we use it? How do we use it to stay awake? Today we embark on the season of the year that is filled with expectation and preparation for the incarnation of our Lord, as well as the return of Christ as judge at the end of time. I'm old enough to remember when Advent was purple. I see some heads shaking out there. Thank you for that. Purple, the color of penance, the penitential purple, rather than the Marian blue that is more symbolic of the incarnation of Christ as human, his first coming. That is our gift this Christmas season. What do we do as we wait for this gift? My plan is simple. I'm looking at that fifth way of waiting as a general way to live and thinking of these days of preparation for the Adventus of Christ as a sort of a Sabbath over these next several weeks. Just like waiting, there are biblical motifs for the Sabbath. And if you recall, from the Old Testament to the New, they changed. And there were lots of tussles as a consequence of Christ's view of the Sabbath as compared to the leaders of the synagogue. The Sabbath motif I want to consider is the one that surrounds the time with an aura of sanctity. It is time set apart from the ordinary. With the New Testament, we are left with a picture of the Sabbath as a day of doing good, as well as a day of worship and cessation from ordinary work. It is a time during which important things should happen to us, just as important things happened to Jesus and his followers on the Sabbath. Now, I will come to work during Advent. I think it would be frowned upon as a priest if I didn't show up now and again. What I'm talking about is taking this period of time and reorienting myself and my heart as best I can by taking my attention off of daily workaday preoccupations, as well as my preoccupations of life, as well as with getting and spending, which is difficult during the Christmas season. I think I remember someone coming into the office after Halloween and saying, "I think I saw my first Christmas decoration." But focusing on God in spiritual realities, perhaps you'll consider joining me in this leap of faith. And maybe, just maybe, we can change our lives just a tiny bit by living intentionally into God. This rest in God is a form of freedom. It is rest from human striving and acquisitiveness and worldly preoccupations. Most importantly, it is a sign of commitment to God and resting in God that is indicative of a freedom from anxiety and fear. Thomas Merton wrote, "Only save me from myself. Save me from my own private, poisonous urge to change everything, to act without reason, to move for movement's sake, to unsettle everything you have ordained. Let me rest in your will and be silent. Then the light of your joy will warm my life. Its fire will burn in my heart and shine for your glory. This is what I live for." As we unwrap ourselves as gifts to God through praying, loving, and serving, it will be easier for us to unwrap the gifts that God has given us. If we are fortunate, perhaps this Sabbath taking may become a habit over time, and we will feel the sanctity of every wild and precious moment we walk this earth, all the while waiting, all the while wide awake. Amen.